This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome back to The Showrunner. This is episode number 22. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Rainmaker FM, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host here on The Showrunner, Johnny Naster, defender of humanity, host of Hack the Entrepreneur, and now freshly relaxed and ready to go from his vacation. How you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing very well.
Good. I am too.
It was good to have what I called a holiday from my vacation.
A holiday from your vacation?
Seeing as I'm kind of on like a vacation for the summer in Vancouver, and then we left here for a few days and took a further vacation from that. It's been a stressful summer.
Yes, man. Yes, it sounds very stressful.
How was Florida?
Florida was phenomenal. It was absolutely incredible. Went kayaking, went snorkeling, went parasailing for the first time. And my 8-year-old nephew was with me. So I've done a lot of those things before, not the parasailing. Did that for the first time. But it's kind of fun. Like, you know, I don't have kids yet. So doing all these things again, almost for the first time, seeing them through the eyes of an 8-year-old it made it really exciting. So yeah, it was really fun. And now I'm relaxed and ready to go again as well.
Nice.
So there's something I've been thinking about. And I was thinking about this before I left for vacation. I'm thinking about it now. You know, after our experience at Podcast Movement, which we're going to talk just a little bit more about in this episode, and just being here in Dallas and going to a few more meetups, that kind of thing, is the value of meeting with your listeners in person. This is actually something where I followed your lead because I saw you doing this, you know, making time to go have coffee with listeners or, you know, on your travels, you know, realizing that a listener lives in a city that you're in and stopping and meeting them. And obviously the value of podcasting is being able to speak to many people at one time, right? Like right now I'm talking and thousands of people will hear this at different times, in different places, on different dates, in different moods, for different reasons. But there is something really valuable I am finding to one-on-one conversations with listeners. I got to do this at Podcast Movement. Again, have gotten to do it in other situations. And I really find it helps keep me in tune with the reason why I'm running the show and keeps my enthusiasm up. And I always learn something really interesting about the audience, about the way they're using the content, and about why it's important to them. And so I guess I just wanted to open this episode up with this because I think it's going to fit the theme of what we're going to talk about. But for people listening to this who maybe have had a show go for a little while and who have the opportunity to meet one-on-one with the people who actually listen to you, I really encourage you to take those opportunities because I think it can really enrich what you're doing as a showrunner. And I have to think, Johnny, that you agree with my stance on this.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with it. And it actually used to frighten me, obviously, the idea of it. I'm more introverted than extroverted, or at least I think I am, but I'm actually, I think, pretty good at going out and meeting people. But it's easy and it's super rewarding and it's just a lot of fun getting to meet somebody who has listened to you over and over and over again. I say it's easy because they know so much about you already.
Yeah.
So they really do, right? And so it's really just, I mean, every time I meet one of my listeners now, it's literally just me asking them a whole bunch of questions about themselves because they don't have to ask me like, oh, so what have you been up to? Or what have you, they know like what I've been doing for the last 6 months because they've been listening to 3 episodes a week. And it's shocking in that way. And that actually put me off at the beginning, the first time I met somebody, because I was like, wow, it's so weird. Like, she was like, I feel like I know everything about you and you don't know anything about me. And I was like, that's true, isn't it? And so it makes the meeting easy though, but then you just get to truly understand your audience and like why they're listening to you, what they're up to, what they're getting from it, what they're not getting from it. And I think it's, I mean, you can't obviously make a deeper connection either. So it's just, it's the ultimate reward, I think, for sitting in your closet or your office or your basement or wherever you're doing this from and actually getting real people. Downloads are one thing, but it's so just numbers on a screen, yeah. Right? It's that actual literal, and emails are amazing and tweets are amazing, but sitting down and like, I was going to say sharing a coffee, but you're not sharing the coffee. We each
have
a coffee.
That would be an awkward first meeting.
So I think we should share this coffee. We'll get two straws and yeah. But you know what I mean? It's such an amazing, it really truly is. To me, it's the best connection, the best part of it, the best result of putting in this hard work.
I agree. And I do find, as you described, it's a lot more asking questions and listening, which I really like. I mean, that's the whole reason to do it, is to really get to know the listener. Because as you said, they know a lot about you, but they can also ask you specific questions that they have, and you can reveal additional authentic parts of yourself that help them. And I will say that, you know, as we kind of wrap up this part before we get to the main topic, people may be wondering, okay, but how do I do that? Like, how do I even start that process? I would say just make that a call to action. You know, if you live in a certain city, say, hey, if any of you live in Dallas, right, let me know. Send me an email, send me a tweet, let's get together. Or, hey, I'm going to be traveling, I'm going to be in Vancouver. If any of you are in Vancouver, let me know, let's grab a coffee. It can be that simple. And then let people come to you with it, you know, and if they're really interested in it, they'll let you know, they'll reach out, let you know, and meet with them. It doesn't have to be this kind of pressure filled thing. Any other, you know, for people who do want to take us up on this advice, any other suggestions you would give people for how to actually make it happen?
Just simply make that your call to action at the end. That's literally what I did when I was heading across from Ontario to be British Columbia through the Northern United States. And I ended up meeting listeners across like the US and then up in Vancouver. And I said it over about five episodes and just nonchalantly at the end, because like you're probably thinking right now listening is just like, well, there's nobody out there listening that's going to live there or going to want to meet. That's what I thought too. So I thought I'm going to just put it out there without doing anything physical, no links, no land, like no, nothing hard. Just literally just say it at the end of a few shows. If nobody says or hears or cares, then that's fine. I'll just be like, well, whatever, I tried. But it was shocking. Like, whoa, emails, tweets. That's amazing. But it's really just that. I didn't think anybody would. I honestly didn't think anybody would be living in those cities and then also want to meet me. And they did. And they will with you too. That's just part of creating this content and this connection. So just make it your call to action at the end. It's really not that hard. And it's just totally, I'll take you out for coffee is all I said to people. Or a beer if it was later in the evening.
Or maybe just an email totally with the easy subject line, you, me, one coffee, two straws.
Just for you, Jared. Just for you.
All right, so let's go to the main topic for this episode, and we are going to kind of break apart another quote from Podcast Movement. The quote involves a curse word, but we're not going to use the curse word. Check out what the quote is next on the main topic of the Showrunner. Okay, so we've spent a few episodes, Johnny, talking about lessons we learned at Podcast Movement. This will probably be the last episode where we do this, but frankly, there was a lot to learn. I mean, there were so many great speakers, so many great experiences there. We took a lot away from it. And so we've got one more episode where we want to talk about something we learned from Podcast Movement. Do you want to introduce this quote that we're going to talk about today?
Sure, I'd love to. And it's a quote about podcasting, but it goes greater than that, I think. And it's sort of something that I've thought and a philosophy I've had for the last few years, just working online and creating products and services. But it's a great extension, and it was used specifically for podcasting by a brilliant podcaster, Roman Mars. And he said it during his keynote, and it was, I can't remember exactly how he brought it up, but it was something about how podcasting's getting really, really popular. That's what we all talk about as podcasters, about how 30% of the population in the US has now listened to a podcast, but that's still 70% hasn't is the main thing. But us as podcasters, we never talk about that. We only talk about the 30%, and how most of the world really doesn't know what we do. They just don't. And they don't care about what we do as much as we do as podcasters. So that meaning that we should really focus on helping each other, and helping podcasting as just a medium grow larger and get exposed to more people who are not into podcasting, rather than fighting amongst ourselves and trying to be the most popular podcaster right now.
And to be specific, he said 95% of the world doesn't know what the blank we do, just for emphasis.
That's exactly what he said. I didn't know how far we wanted to go.
Blank sometimes, is okay.
Sometimes our listeners don't like that. So they also don't like us talking. But we have to talk. We were going to just play music.
It makes it very hard to host a show without talking.
It does. So it's an excellent thing, especially because there's 1,100 podcasters there. And there does sometimes you get that like, oh, well, there's like John Lee Dumas and there's Pat Flynn and there's Mark Maron, right? All these like, oh, they're all superstars. Like, and you get this jealousy about like, oh, they have all this success of this and I want that, or I deserve that. Or, and his whole thing was just like, we're such a small community. Mm-hmm. Like literally we're just tiny. Most of the world does not know or care what we do. So let's not fight amongst each other. Let's just try and help each other and each other's shows grow and build big audiences and expose podcasting and this new form of on-demand audio content to more people outside of us. So let's help each other do that. Let's not, it's not like if somebody listens to Pat Flynn's podcast that they also can't listen to my podcast, because they do. They listen to both. That's just the way it is. People who listen to business or entrepreneurship podcasts, they listen to a lot of them. They don't just listen to one. Somebody who listens to a podcast on podcasting, even, they listen to numerous ones. That's just the way it works. That's how we devour content. That's why when somebody, even with magazines, I mean, if I'm into fishing, I don't just buy one fishing magazine. I probably subscribe to 3 or 5 of them because I want all of it. I don't want just one. That's just how people are. That's how we always, when we get really passionate about stuff, we want more of it. So there isn't competition amongst us as podcasters, and we should all try and push each other forward. Of course, there's going to be, oh, I wish I was as successful as that person. I mean, that's sort of natural within us as humans. We should try and deal with it and be aware of it, but don't make it stop us from trying to push all of us forward and the whole medium forward into more ears.
So we were going to record this episode about a week ago before we left on vacation, and we couldn't because there were some audio issues. And I firmly believe things happen for a reason. And I think it's a good thing that those audio issues happened, because while I was on vacation, I actually read this really interesting article that is perfect for this topic, because it illustrates exactly what you're talking about, but actually outside the realm of podcasting. But it's a perfect parallel. And it's with craft beer. And so if you look at the way that craft beer has grown in the United States, for example, over the last 6 years, basically the demand for beer has stayed really stagnant. Yet craft beer has increased by 22%. So they continue to gain market share, which obviously isn't good for the Anheuser-Busch's of the world and the big guys. But what's interesting about this is why the craft breweries have grown, and it's because of the spirit of collaboration that they have. An example of this is how they deal with trademark issues. A lot of times these breweries will come up with beers, you know, they all have kind of unique names, but there'll be similar names. Like these, two breweries both came out with a beer called Salvation Ale, and instead of suing each other into the ground for the rights to the name, they just came out with a new beer called Collaboration Not Litigation Ale. Like, they turned it into a positive, and they grew from it. And this is how these craft breweries have grown, is they train each other. You know, an experienced craft brewery will train the staff of a new craft brewery to bring them up to speed. And it's this combination of A, taking this immense pride in creating a really good product, because they all realize that the reason why people drink craft brewed beer is because it's higher quality, you know, it's locally based, it's unique. So, but the thing is, people, if one craft brewer puts out a bad product, then the perception of all craft brews is going to suffer. And they realize that. And so then kind of taking pride then in almost having this humble attitude towards each other and helping each other out then helped all boats to rise. And I think there's a real parallel there for podcasters, because if you think about it, a lot of us, when it comes to podcasters, especially if we're independent, you know, we are trying to get ear share from radio and from music and even from the bigger, more established podcasts. And we're even trying to get, you know, sometimes share of entertainment time from television. Although the nice niche for podcasting is that it can kind of fill in gaps and you can do it while you're doing other things. But still, we're competing with bigger, more established people to get the share of our audience's attention. And so it doesn't make sense for us to compete. It makes sense for us to collaborate, and all boats will rise. And not to, you know, I don't know, hoard our secrets. It makes a lot more sense to share and work together and expose each other to each other's audiences. You can see it working with craft brews. You can see it working with food trucks, where they've done the exact same things in cities where restaurants have tried to push them out. Food trucks have instead banded together to make sure they have a better product and to help not allow regulations to crowd them out, because they've got the power of this group. And so, you know, and I've seen it even just with some of the side projects I work on. Like I talked about the Assembly Call, my IU podcast. I could very easily look at all the other IU shows out there as my competitors. But instead, I partnered with one to host a new podcast for them. And I always tweet out and share the other podcasts. And you can say, well, why are you doing that? That's taking time away from what people could listen to you. But I don't look at it that way. And that spirit of collaboration, then they expose me to their audiences, I to them. And what it does is it actually increases the overall reputation of the independent online sites and increases the overall awareness. So I love this. I love this topic. I love the big idea, because I think too often we get into this competitive mindset where I think if we take a more humble approach and if we take a more collaborative approach, it really will help all boats rise, including our own. Obviously, we're not doing anything to sabotage ourselves. We're doing this ultimately because it's in our own best interest. It just happens to be that what's in our best interest is also in the best interest of our other fellow showrunners out there. So
I love it. I love the craft beer sort of link between the two, because it's so true. And I never actually thought of it in that way, but craft beer is, they're amazing at that. And there's actually a real correlation back to where I kind of come from, which is like the WordPress, open source software, open source technology in general, but open source software is massive. Like WordPress, you can do anything you want to it. It's completely open. Anything built under it is supposed to be built under the licensing of the open license, and it's amazing. And I mean, there's 60 million sites that now run off it, and it's a $1 billion business that originally started WordPress based on free software that is, you can do anything you want. I mean, Rainmaker is built off of WordPress because of that licensing that WordPress allows, and a collaboration of thousands of people who are always working on WordPress to make it more secure, make it safer, make it faster, make it more robust. And then things can be built, amazing things like Rainmaker can be built on top of it. And that's so cool and so amazing that it's done like that. And then craft beer is just doing the same thing. They're getting rid of the bushes and the, like, it's cool. It's just, they're taking them on. It's not all about litigation. It's about collaboration. And that's really where I think especially us as smaller markets like podcasting, although it's massive, and I mean, WordPress is massive, but it's still small. It's still not most of the internet at all. But it's a super, super vibrant community of people helping each other grow and do better. And that's really, really cool. Yep.
So call to action for the main topic. Everybody listening right now, get an image in your head. When I say, who is your podcast competitor? Who's the first person that comes to mind? Okay, now go share an episode of that person's podcast. Go do it. See what happens. Something tells me it'll be good. It'll be positive. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to take away from your own show. It'll help. And put that person in the tweet. Let them know that you're sharing their show. I think this spirit of collaboration is going to help us all. So, yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the main reason why we started podcast recommendations. The way we originally had it for the first 20 episodes was we truly just wanted to provide like shows we really yep. like. Some of them are in direct competition with my show in that way, if you think about it, but they're not at all. Like Internet Business Mastery, I've talked about that show so many times on here. It's very much closely related to Hack the Entrepreneur, but I think that everybody should listen to it. And I think that lots of people already do, and that there's room for both of us. There's room for all of us. So I like that. And I love that you want everybody to share it, because we don't share it anymore, but now we have a new podcast recommendation that we should get to.
We do, and we're going to be getting to that soon. But don't listen to any Rainmaker FM shows besides Showrunner Lead and Hack the Entrepreneur.
Right. And maybe the Master Feed. Yeah, right. Just all the episodes in there.
Exactly. All right, you ready for a listener question?
Let's do it.
Well, as always, our listener question is sponsored by the Rainmaker platform. And let me ask you all a question, you listening. Is your podcast, is it growing your digital business or is it giving you headaches? Because if it's the latter, there's a good chance that a lot of those headaches are technical headaches. I know in my experience, hosting 5 shows right now concurrently and hosting 10, 11, 12, whatever the actual number is over time, most of the headaches I've had have been technical, because I'm just not that technical of a person. And the reason why I got into podcasting, why I got into show running, why I like building shows is to connect with audiences and then to eventually build businesses around them and actually drive results. And that's what Rainmaker helps me do. It's why I build all of my shows on Rainmaker, and why I would, even if Brian Clark fired me tomorrow. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but I would still continue to use Rainmaker and vouch for Rainmaker, because it helps remove those headaches and helps me actually use my podcast to drive results. And so if you are having any of those headaches, go to rainmakerplatform.com. There's a 14-day free trial. Give it a test drive and see if it's right for you. You have nothing to lose, but you have a lot to gain. Well, I take that back. You do have something to lose, those technical headaches. So go to rainmakerplatform.com, see if it's the right fit for you, and maybe you can get rid of those headaches and focus on what you really want to be doing, which is creating on-demand audio content, getting it to your audience, and then building relationships with that audience. And actually, you know, this goes really nicely into our listener question. And I actually plucked this listener question out of the Podcasters Hangout Facebook group that I'm in. It's by someone named Jonathan. I have no idea if he's a listener. But hopefully he is. But his question is a really good question. I wanted to bring it here because I thought it really fit. And the question is, what do you do if your podcast is losing traction? What ways are you guys marketing your podcast? And I will say, I've seen a lot of people, their podcast loses traction because their enthusiasm wanes, and their enthusiasm wanes in part because they're dealing with some of those technical headaches that I was talking about with the platform. So again, if you're having any of those, that's where having something like the Rainmaker platform can really help. But let's say that you've got those technical headaches out of the way. Johnny, for you, you know, obviously you're past 100 episodes now with the show. You've, I'm sure, gone through dips where you're really gaining steam, you're losing steam, you're gaining steam back. What are some of the ways that you've marketed your podcast and just approached your podcast during those times when you're losing traction to get the momentum back going again?
I've stopped looking at all numbers and all metrics during those times, because when I go back, I'm at 100 episode 118 on Monday, and I go back and look through my Libsyn for the past almost a year now, and there are two massive dips. The first one lasted for almost 3 months, and if I would have thought about it too much, if I would have looked at the numbers too much, I would have quit. It's shocking to me when I look back that I didn't quit, but now it's, I mean, every time, so it's like I had my first 8 weeks, which went to 10 weeks, and then I dropped hard, and then it came back up like 2 months later, and then it dropped even worse and went for like months, and then it went way back up to higher than it ever was. And that's where it is now. And it's amazing. But these things are coming. And I think that this is actually such a big question that, and I've been thinking that we need to do an episode on this, because I'm getting a lot, and I have just in the past, but I'm getting a lot of emails from people with shows that are doing great right now. They're 1 month or 6 weeks into it. New and noteworthy is being really, really, really good to them. the sky's the limit. It's this whole, and I've seen this so many times in the past year that it almost makes me want to cry, because people have shows that did so much better than my show did during New and Noteworthy during that first 10 weeks. It's just shocking. And then this dip hits and I haven't seen one of them make it through that dip yet. They've all quit after that. Every single one of them. And always, and I'm doing this email now to people and like, that's so awesome. Push it as hard as you can right now, but then please stop looking at any metrics and just push for the next 6 months. Do every episode you say you're going to do and do not worry about that stuff, because you will come out the other side stronger and better. And it's the only place that successful shows are, is on the other side of that. But no one wants to listen because they're in this amazing growth period. But you, Jonathan, hopefully if you're listening, you are not in this amazing growth period anymore and you're looking for traction. Ignore that stuff. Do what you do best, which is create really, really good content, and don't stop. Don't stop creating the content, because it doesn't happen before 100 episodes. It doesn't happen before 200, sometimes before 300 episodes, where the real true success and the actual show making begins. You can't get there if you stop. It's just, you can't. And those numbers are horrible to look at. They suck. I know. I've been there. I will be there again, I'm sure. I mean, the higher you rise, the farther it falls into these dips. And I don't know why it happens. It's just the nature of the beast. But the other side of the dip is always bigger than it has ever been for your show. But it's just, I don't know where it comes from or why it works. But the numbers and the graphs looking back are shocking. But you just have to stick it out. So just know that what you're doing is creating content to build a listener, build one listener at a time. We don't have to build 1,000 at a time. We can't. Literally one person, make that connection, then go to the next one, then go to the next one. And that's just through making good content that connects with your audience.
Yeah. And I have two things to add to this. Number one is, I would say, make sure that your mindset is right, because a lot of times we look at our shows as losing traction because the numbers aren't growing. And we forget that, you know, we have this audience that has developed, but we have to engage them. And if we just constantly have this cycle where we get new listeners and they leave, and we get new listeners and they leave, that's going to make it feel like, you know, we're not gaining any new people. It's going to make it feel like we're not losing traction, because we never really gain traction with people and they never become long-term listeners. So if you feel like you're losing traction because you're not getting that next 200 listeners, well, maybe go back and re-engage the 200 that you have and learn from them and figure out what it's going to take to turn someone from a listener to a subscriber to a true audience member, so that you know how to build moving forward. And here's the other thing that I will say, and this harkens back to how we started this episode talking about meeting with people in person, because I had a meeting a couple weeks ago with a lady named Lena, who has listened to The Showrunner. She's listened to my new show, Primality Primer, and reached out, you know, and wanted to get together. And she's got a new show idea that she's working on. And I had so much fun talking with her and asking her questions about this new project that she has. And she was so enthusiastic, so excited, but so afraid and had so much trepidation. But there was all this energy happening, right? Like, some of it really positive, some of it, you know, she had to get over, but it was all this energy. And I think if you feel like you're losing traction, try to tap back into the fear and the enthusiasm and the excitement and just the emotion that you had at the beginning. Because sometimes when these dips occur, or just as a function of time, we lose a little bit of that. And I think a great way to get it for me was meeting with Lena in person. Try to figure out a way for you that will work to get that back, that fear, that enthusiasm, that excitement. Because if you've lost it, then I think it's going to be hard to transfer that enthusiasm onto your audience. And that can then lead to that, to the losing of traction, you know, because I think that's part of why new shows gain so much traction. They're new, we're new, our approach is fresh, it's new for the audience. And as soon as it becomes stagnant, kind of like a relationship, a lot of that fades away. And there is a difference between a new show and a mature show, but there can still be genuine enthusiasm and excitement, and there should be some fear every now and then, because you're trying something a little bit new. We had that a couple episodes ago when we did that weird episode where everything was jumbled and we recorded it weird and we were trying something new. And I was afraid when we published that, and we had some positive comments, we had some negative comments. But I think that spirit of trying something new, the fear, the enthusiasm, it was all there. And I think it keeps you moving forward. So that's what I would say, is really look inward, not at the topic, not at the audience, not at any of that stuff. Look at yourself. And maybe you're lacking some of the enthusiasm, some of that fear that you had in the beginning. And a lot of times that's the energy that drives your show forward, and find a way to tap back into it. Because when you do, I think it can really turbocharge your show and get the momentum going back in a positive direction.
Damn. That was good.
Thank you. Now I'm ready to go.
That was really good. And it was good clarification on like the engagement of your audience that exists. And I didn't mean to just say like, just keep creating content. I kind of meant just keep doing what you were doing, which you then went to with your second part, was really keep doing what you were doing when you originally felt like you were getting traction. Because you must have been like working on an email list. You must have been engaging them. You must have been on social media, engaging your audience and having that excitement. You have to keep that stuff going. It's not that that part's necessarily stopped. It's just that you hit this dip with it, but you know that worked, what you were doing. So keep doing that, and then think of new ways you can also engage further, and new ways even of marketing. But that's not, it can't be at the result can't be that you're doing that other stuff because you've made more time by stopping to create new shows or stopping to engage your audience, mm-hmm. because you have to do that stuff. It's essential.
Always. You know, I should relay some advice from my aunt. She's a very wise woman, and she once gave me great relationship advice that I think applies here, which is, she said, you know, Jared, how you feel and what you do, you know, when you first meet a girl and you're really excited, all those little things that you do and how much you pay attention and all of that enthusiasm you bring to it. And I'm like, yes, you know, all that you do for the first 6 months to the year. Yeah. She's like, the key is to not lose that, to keep doing it, keep doing the little things. That's what'll make the relationship last. And I think it's the exact same thing when you're building a show. Because your audience comes to expect it. That's the reason why they connect. And when we lose that, when we stop doing it, when we take it for granted, I think that's a big reason why shows lose traction. So follow the advice of my Aunt Nini. Because she's always right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Are we ready for some podcast recommendations?
We're ready for a podcast recommendation.
Yes, that's coming now. All right, so this week's podcast recommendation, again, we've shifted this some, and instead of us recommending shows, we are allowing showrunners themselves, showrunners just like you, to recommend their own shows. And these are shows that, Johnny, you and I have vetted. We've worked with these folks inside of the Showrunner Podcasting course, so they do certainly have our stamp of approval, but instead of us telling you why you should listen to these shows, we are going to let the showrunners themselves pitch you. All I will say to preface this one, the show by Sonia Thompson, is that I had the good fortune, the privilege of being featured on her show. That episode will come out at some point. I don't know when it will come out. But her very last question, she asked me to state my favorite line from a movie. And I kind of panicked on the spot. And I started singing.
Wow. Yeah.
She tells me that it's okay and that it turned out well. I don't know that I believe her. I guess we'll have to wait and see when that episode comes out. But anyway, here is Sonia telling you why you should listen to her new show, I Am the One.
Hey there, it's Sonia Thompson, and my recommendation for you this week is my new show, I Am the One Entrepreneur Edition. On each episode, I talk to entrepreneurs at various stages within their journey about why they decided to be the one to make life better for the people they serve. And because deciding to be the one is just the beginning of the story, we explore the ups, the downs, and the lessons they've learned along the way. In this show, you can expect a diverse group of guests with varying levels of success, backgrounds, and industries. There's also an intense focus on application so you can apply the lessons directly to growing your business. And of course, we have lots of fun along the way. Now, because you are the one, you should totally come on over and check the show out. That way you can get inspiration, important lessons, and insider info to help you build your dream business. Talk soon.
All right. So check out Sonia's show. It's excellent. And Sonia absolutely rocks. In fact, you've heard her on here before. We had her on back when we did the launch of the Showrunner Podcasting course, and she told you about it. So Sonia's great. Her show will be as well. But that said, I think we're about ready to wrap up here. Mr. Nastor, any final closing thoughts on this episode?
No, this has been a good one. I'm going to think further about maybe expanding that listener question out a little
bit
more.
It should be its own episode.
To an episode. We'll see. Yeah, because I think we could really go a lot of places. And it's a huge,
huge
thing.
It could be its own mini course, frankly. I mean, there's so many places you can take that. You know, and that, I mean, if we talk about developing a show and launching a show, but that the running part is so important. And there's, you know, there's so many different layers of running it and different time periods, you know, that we all go through, the dips and the post dips and the, you know, there's a lot more meat on that bone.
Yeah, I agree. But for now, we should get to the call to action.
We should get to the call to action. And the call to action is to go to showrunner.fm and sign up for the email list. If you're not already on it, you will learn the four essential elements of a remarkable show. That content series will be sent to you via email, and you will also get updates on new Showrunner episodes, which you absolutely won't want to miss. And Johnny just might email you asking if you want to share a cup of coffee with him, because he likes sharing cups of coffee.
You definitely will.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week on another brand new episode of The Showrunner.